Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the truth of the Bible. Now, the truth of the Bible helps us understand how credible is the Bible. Most people don't even believe the Bible. A lot of people say they do believe in it, but they really don't believe in it because they don't do what it says. So how credible is the Bible? Let's just review a few things that are important to understand. Number one, God is a God of truth, and it's impossible for him to lie. Number two, he has inspired his word, and in it, it is truth. Number three, no lie can come out of the truth unless it is improperly put together. Number four, God said that at the end time, the wise shall understand, but none of the wicked shall understand. And we see that dichotomy everywhere in the world today. Number five, who are the wise? The wise are those who love God and keep his commandments. Now, there's a very interesting thing about the Bible. God made it this way. There's something very simple to understand. Some things very complicated to understand. Some things that require many scriptures to be put together to get a full view of it. And so when we come to fulfilled prophecy is the number one way of proving the credibility of the Bible. Now then, when you have done that, and then you study the Bible, then in order to begin to understand what is in the Bible and what God is saying, you have to obey what you learn you need to do. And that has to start with you, with the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are true and righteous and given by God himself. Therefore, no man can change it. Now, when it comes to prophecy, prophecy is given a little here, a little there, precept upon precept, line upon line, and events that all come together. There are prophecies which are repetitious prophecies. There are prophecies that are single event prophecies. There are prophecies that come along, and you can see some of them being fulfilled, and men have done this in the past. They see some of the things being fulfilled.
He's going to have a second term. He's going to win. Romney will win the election.
You believe that?
I absolutely believe
that. What makes you believe that?
Because the Lord told me.
Well, that's why I'm glad to know. I wasn't sure how you knew. Really, the Lord said that to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I told Mitt a long time ago. I called him. I said, listen, I've been in prayer. Number one, you're going to win the nomination. Number two, you're going to win the general election. He said, well, what can I do for you? I said, well, give me a seat on the platform. During your inauguration, give me a ticket to your inauguration. Recently, the Lord said he's going to have a second term. So, I told him, I said, listen, there'll be trillions of dollars coming into the economy when you're elected. Trillions of dollars.
So you do see the economy turning.
Oh, my.
If he wins the election.
There'll be a flood of money that's on the sidelines, into business, into real estate, and there should be a huge boom. The stock market ought to boom. Everything ought to boom, I would think, if he's elected. If on the other hand...
But the Lord told you he would be.
Yes.
I trust God's voice.
And so, how do we know concerning prophecy when Jesus is going to return? That's the number one question, because people have used the Bible how many times over again to tell everyone that his return is imminent. Well, let's come to Matthew 24. We've been here quite a few times in this series. And so this is number 5 in Is the Bible Credible? Now let's look at some of the prophecies here, and let's analyze them as we go down through the chapter. And then let's look at one statement that Jesus gave, which tells us we need to understand in a particular way concerning the temple and everything here. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 24, verse 2. Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here even a stone upon a stone that shall not be thrown down. A one-time event. This happened 40 years after Jesus spoke this. Was that fulfilled? Yes. Was Jesus' prophecy of it true? Yes. Does that make this credible? Yes. So then the disciples, verse 3, wanted to know when would be the completion of the age. So verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, be on guard so that no one deceives you. Now that's a very interesting thing, isn't it? How many religions profess to be Christian? How many use the name of Jesus? How many you can go even on television and you can watch the different preachers that say they are Christian, and they get up there on Sunday and they give some rousing sermons, and it sounds good and it sounds authentic, but the biggest problem is they give you part of the truth. Now, what happens when you get part of the truth? You don't know the whole story, do you? You don't know what's taking place. And there is another power who is called the god of this world, Satan the devil, and he is deceiving the whole world. Now, what's the one key that will help you begin to understand the Bible? It's right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. And that is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the biggest lie in the world has been that Jesus came to change it or abolish it or make the day for the New Testament the first day of the week. That is absolutely not true. So you need our two booklets. Number one, which day is the true Christian Sabbath? Number two, Rome's challenge to the Protestants. And that will astound you that never did Jesus or the apostles authorize the changing of the day of worship from the seventh day to the first day. Now, men are so deceptive that in Europe, what have they done with the calendar? They have slightly altered it so that Sunday is the seventh day. Isn't that an amazing thing? And people don't know that. They will come and say, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. How do they deceive them? Well, you see, the truth is, unless you keep the commandments of God, you're not going to understand the Bible, so they can say anything they want to, and there will always be someone who believe it. Do you realize that there are some people who believe the earth is flat to this day? And do you understand that there are some people who believe the earth is a cube? You realize that there are some people who say that Jesus never died and he married Mary Magdalene? Have you ever read the book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail? Filled with lies from one end to the other.
Did Jesus actually not die? Did he marry Mary Magdalene and have children that eventually became a royal bloodline of nobles in the south of France that survived to this day? And was the cover-up and protection of this story engineered by a shady group called the Priory of Zion?
Now then, so this has happened. How many thousands of times over, down through how many centuries, has this taken place? Does that make this credible? Yes, indeed. Is it happening right today? Yes, it is. Remember this. God said, remember this Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath, holy time. Now, one of the keys to understanding the Bible is to keep the Sabbath holy, as God said. And God measures time not from midnight to midnight. He measures time from sunset to sunset. So the day actually begins at sunset Friday and runs to sunset Saturday. That is the Sabbath day. Do you keep the Sabbath? Do you believe the Sabbath? What excuse do you have for not doing it? Whatever that may be, there's no way you'll be able to understand the Bible or the truth of God, because you will be living a lie. Let's go on. Verse 6, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you do not let these things disturb you, for it's necessary that all these things take place, but the end is not yet. Now, how long have we had wars and rumors of war? Well, you can even turn on your television today, and there it is. Wars and rumors of war. Is this prophecy true? Is it credible? Yes. For nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. Has that occurred since the time of Jesus? Has that occurred even before then? Yes, indeed. Is this verse credible? Yes, it is. Now, verse 9. Then he shall deliver you up to affliction, and you shall be killed, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Has that happened? Have Christians been killed and martyred? Yes. Is it taking place even for those who profess the name of Jesus? Yes. Little sidebar. Most people don't know it. There are two categories of martyrs. Number one, the true saints. And number two, those who profess the name of Jesus. The fact that they even profess it in sincerity to death, God recognizes that. Let's go on. So this one is true. This is credible, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Then many shall be led into sin and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Is that not true? Is that happening today? Can we say that this scripture is credible for today? Yes. Can we say that this has been credible down through time? And most of these that we covered now are secular, correct? I mean, look back at the history from the time of Christ. All the wars. Look at the plagues. Look at the armies from Mongolia coming, the Mongols, the Turks. All of those things, Christians down through time would look at those and think, ooh, Jesus' return is near. Boy, they sure said that with the going off of the atomic bomb, didn't they? And then the hydrogen bomb. We're on the verge of destroying all of us. That is true. We're on the verge. But did you know, between testing nuclear devices and bombs and nuclear disasters such as Chernobyl and Fukushima, that there have been 3,000 nuclear explosions on the Earth? And look at Nagasaki, and look at Hiroshima. They're built back up again and people are living there. So the end is not yet. But that was very disastrous, right? And when those took place, what happened? Many prophecies were fulfilled at that time. But that doesn't mean they won't be fulfilled again. Let's go on, because we're going to see there is one event that in all that we're going through never took place. We'll see that in a little bit here. Verse 11, for many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Another wave of them. We have more of them today than ever before. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Does that not describe this society? Does that not describe every society that comes to this point? Yes, indeed. Look at the world, any place in the world. Lawlessness is multiplying. See, another little sidebar you need to understand. The more people you have in a community or a group, the more it's necessary that everyone keep the Ten Commandments, because all of them will give you peace, but the breaking of them will bring you trouble. It's automatic. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world to all nations, then shall the end come. The process of that happening now is taking place. But the churches of God down through history, not the Christianity of this world, but the churches of God down through history reached out and preached the gospel and evangelized Europe and other areas of the world. But this says to all nations. Now, generations come and go, don't they? Yes, indeed. So what was done in the past, though it's credible and it was done, is not the fulfillment of it completely, because there's a greater fulfillment. Now, as I have covered, look at the digital Bibles. Look at what they're doing in setting up worldwide Wi-Fi. Meaning that everyone can see and hear and witness any event in the world by having it in the palm of their hands. Now then, how great a witness will that be? Now we'll look at a prophecy that's going to help fulfill what I just said there. Therefore, when you shall see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of by the Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. That did not happen when they destroyed the temple in 70 AD. There was no abomination of desolation. What is the abomination of desolation? Do you know? Now, there was a type of it in the 160s B.C. when Antiochus Epiphanes slaughtered hogs on the altar. That was not a fulfillment of it. That was a type. But what is this? The abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And that has to do with the very end time of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. Now, let's read this parenthetical statement. The one who reads, let him understand. Jesus did not speak those words. This was put there by the Apostle John. In the canonization of the New Testament in 100 AD. Why did he put it there? Well, come over here, verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches are already become tender, and it puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. In like manner also, when you see all, now if you've got a Bible, circle that, all, every one of the things taking place simultaneously that we have already read in Matthew 24, including the abomination that makes desolate. That has not yet happened. Why? Because the temple was destroyed. It was never rebuilt. This event did not take place, and that tells us that the future fulfillment is yet to come. Now, why did he put here, let the one who reads understand? Because he knew it was going to be for a time way down in the future. So let's see one of the motivating factors for writing that. Now, this is also included in Mark 13. Come back here to Revelation 11. Now, we're going to see a section of Scripture which is yet future prophecy to take place, and why he put that parenthetical statement there. Revelation 11 and verse 1. Then the angel gave me a measuring rod like a staff, saying, arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Well, how could he do that when it was destroyed? But leave out the court that is within the temple area and do not measure it, because it has been given up to the Gentiles, and they shall trample upon the holy city for 42 months. This prophecy was yet in the future. What is that going to be? What does this tell us that must be fulfilled first before all the things in Matthew 24 can take place? The temple must be rebuilt. And I can tell you this, you go to the Temple Institute and you will see they're making plans to build the temple. It is getting closer and closer and closer. You cannot have an abomination that makes desolate unless you have a temple and a holy place, because the holy place is where the abomination is going to take place. How is that going to be accomplished? Why is this prophecy so important and so pivotal to understand about the return of Christ and to understand the veracity of the prophecies, so we can know that the Bible is credible, so that we can believe that these things are true? Let's see something else that's going to take place right at that particular time, too. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now, that's another whole prophecy, which has not been fulfilled, but is going to be fulfilled. And we might cover that at a later time back in Zechariah 3 and 4. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the God of the earth. Fantastic authority that they have. And if anyone attempts to harm them, fire will go out of their mouths and devour their enemies. And if anyone attempts to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. This has never happened, because there must be a temple first. Then this will happen next. These have authority to shut up heaven so that rain may not fall in the days of their prophecy. They have authority over the waters to turn them into blood and smite the earth with every plague as often as they will. Now then, we see something else. This has not yet happened either. So let's read it. And when they have completed their testimony, the beast who ascends out of the abyss will make war against them and will overcome them and will kill them. Now, who is the beast that comes out of the abyss? None other than Satan the devil. Has there been a time in history that this has happened? No, this is future prophecy, but we're going to see that it was understood even back in the days of the Apostle Paul, because he gave what the abomination of desolation actually will be. Now notice where their ministry is. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That is Jerusalem. Where does the temple have to be? In Jerusalem. Now you go on the Temple Institute and see how much they've already done. And understand this, at the time, God wants the temple to be rebuilt, they will rebuild it. And then a catastrophic event is going to happen, which we will cover next time, which is, what is the abomination that makes desolate? Now then, you need our booklets that we have here. How credible is the Bible? We'll still have quite a few more to go on this series. You need this booklet, and it has a CD, and you can follow along as it is read. Next booklet, God or No God, if you're skeptical about God and don't really understand about creation, and you might even believe in evolution, you need this book. We'll send it to you free. And Geology, Catastrophism, and the Scriptures talks about the creation of the world and what happened and how did it get in the shape that it is today. We send these out at no cost to you. Just email us, write us a letter, whatever, and we will get them to you so that you can find the truth of God, understand what original Christianity for today really is, why we need to study the Bible and know the truth of it so we can live our lives by it. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So this is Fred Calder, until next time, saying so long, everyone.